This is my great honor and privilege to be with you this morning. Such a wonderful fellowship. I sense that. It's a very warm, very friendly, very family. This the God's ones. Thank you very much. Maybe not much about my testimony this morning, because of it had been told many times, and you can go to the YouTube with some brother and they already put it. But I would like to introduce myself. Moreover, if I come next year, my age will be 34. Every year, the last year, Dr. Poole, he said 68, and this year 53. Hopefully next year is 34. Yes, I'm 53. I'm a married one. And the two sons. And 11 adopted children. Daughter and son. All are married. And most of them, they love the Lord. And we both are, my wife is very, very simple lady. She loved the Lord. She supposed to be here with me, but she could not make it because she's in Colorado Springs now. And we visited our son in New York, one of the adopted son. He's a very good son. He's a Tibetan from the Tibet. We brought from Tibet. I bring some from Bhutan. I brought some from India, some from Tibet, and some from Nepal, and some from God. So it is a really combined, good, different combination family. I do have God had provided. So one of my son, the eldest one, and the second one in the New York, they are doing their master, studying, and my daughter-in-law, he got married, and the daughter-in-law is a nurse. They have been working, and I'm visiting them first time in New York. So they are so lovely. And one of my younger son, my own blood younger son, is in London. Actually, I'm making a very big mouth. It is not me. You know, I'm telling a big, big story in New York and London, and another my blood son in the Brisbane in Australia, some of them Dubai. You know, I grew up in the forest, in the jungle. My friends were all the monkeys. None. If anything, I need to carry. I mean, one house to another house to go to see friend or neighbor, it takes half an hour to 45 minutes or 1 hour to walk. I just grew up in the jungle, you know, in the mountains. It happened to, you know, how God has brought me from that real jungle, forest, and uncivilized. That's why I was always thankful to God. Now I'm making very big mouth. Oh, so and so big story. Is it not because of me? If something happened to in my life, it's because of the graces and Heavenly Father, and He is the one. So, it is a God's gift. I try to be reminded always faithful to Him, loving Him, and serving Him in my life. Day of the dead in 86 and 85, December 28, when I given up my life to the Lord, I say, Lord, I have been fighting and I have doing since many, many years, for I have been doing such a things and many things and very, very things for nothing. But today is the day I will do something for the Lord, and Lord, I will do it. In the December 28, 1985, I gave up my life to the Lord. That day onwards, whatever things, whatever circumstances, whatever difficulties, whatever joy, whatever peace, I keep on serving the Lord. Nothing can stop me. Nothing can separate me from the serving the Lord and from the love of God. As I talk to my wife, we are not love marriage. I am arranged marriage. Just we meet up, and my father-in-law, he's a Gurkha soldier, and my family was not there. I was walking alone. One day I meet up that. He said, "Boy, what are you doing?" I said that, "Uncle, I'm doing a great, great, great job." "What is that?" "I am an evangelist." "What do you have?" "One bag and few number of books in my pocket. That's it." So my sister-in-law, now is a sister-in-law, that time I used to call a sister. She talked to my father-in-law, said that, "Maybe this boy will be the good boy for our sister." No question. No any question, no any interview. He said that, "This is the man I want to give my daughter. I have no place to put her." Amazing. No place to put her. There is big stories there. But I married her. I bought the one thing I told her that. Her name is Mangali. I lovely like our Pastor Downing. He told me that he called his beloved one Suji. Maybe the name is different. Lovely name. Maybe longer name or something, a name. Suji. My wife's name is Mangali Gurung Rai. It's a little bit longer, but I just call the money. I told mother, "Money, if you are going to get married with me, you are not going to get married with Samuel. You are going to get married with the mission field. If you marry me, I will take care of you. In the name of my God, even if under the tree, I have no place to sleep, no place to eat. I believe that God will take care of if you marry me." She said, and she after she told me that after one week, she will tell me what she had made the decision. After 1 week, I got a call, and she said that, "Of course, we before marriage, we don't call a husband and wife. We call a brother and sister." She told me, "Brother, that's good. I decided to get married with you. I was in trouble. Where do I put her?" So I rented a room, paying about $2 a $2. Per month, 1 month's rent, $2. You can imagine what kinds of room I rented for her to take away. Of course, we married. There was about 600 invitees in my wedding. Big, 800 maybe, more people came to congratulate us. Wishes, and we were so blessed. So, we work together for the Lord. She works with the women, children, and sometimes we cross in the airport. You know, when I'm coming from airport, she's going, "Hey," we can't just say no word because of the window is a glass, you know, so like this. And sometimes she asks me that, "Dad, when you are coming, I'm an evangelist. I call to be evangelist. I want to be harvest field to and the mountain to preach the gospel." And those days, I remember that in a 1 year, I maybe stay 2 months and 3 months at home in a whole year. I've been nothing. I was not there. And sometimes I pull out my bag and she said that, "When you are coming back." I used to tell her that, "I know I'm going, but I do not know either I'm coming back or not. I'm going for the Lord. I'm foregoing Jesus." And sometimes I used to say that, hey, don't ask me when we're coming back. Because of Jesus say, you go. But he never said, come back. You see, he said, he asked to his disciple to go. But there is no word, come back. You know, anything can be happen. Anywhere will be lost. Anything will be, anywhere will be captured. Anything can be happen. But that is not the issue. That is not our agenda. Our agenda to serve the Lord, to remind our death, our life, joy, our sorrow, and we are faithful to Him. That's it I learned in my life. God has blessed me. God has blessed us. So it is a very good. So what I can share with you this morning, I'm a least one, not a big one. I'm just by the grace of God. And I'm sorry, I'm saved. But that's why always I say, the Lord, I'm here. Lord, I'm here. Use me as an instrument if I'm available to love you and serve you. That's it, I can do it. I had a great privilege to be under the mentor of the Dr. Peter Master in Metropolitan Tabernacle. I was educated with him. So this morning also I was thinking of the Spurgeon's book. The day morning, day by day, also morning by evening. I was thinking that what is the Spurgeon that morning by evening? It's a day. So, I thought of the morning or evening when the Spurgeon wrote it that I found something. I'm not going to everything to tell you, but little the glimpse. What was the morning and evening, morning and evening? You know, the Spurgeon life, Charles Houston Spurgeon life, morning and evening was that was the great vision in his life. He saw the great glory of God in every day, morning and evening. Every day he saw the vision, morning and evening. He saw the glory of God every day, evening, morning and evening. And he made a decision, great decision, every day, morning and evening. That was his life. You know, the Spurgeon, I was studying, he's the student of his pulpit ministry and his lecture, everything. He was the great, great, great theologian. He has a great theology. He was a great theologian. Apart from that, he was not that much. He was a great, great, great neologian. Do you got it? The neologian. He knelt down every day, every moment in the throne of the Lord, and he prayed to the God. Because he has the man of wisdom, and he was a man of prayer. The man of knowledge, and the man of prayer. He was communicating with God. Communion with God. We look at the life of our reformers, our reformed brethren. They are the great asset, great example for our life. They were not only the theologically explorer, not that only the Bible explorer. They were not the theological explorer, but that they were very, very, very spiritual. You know, prayer explorer. They explore the prayer. So I learned from the Spurgeons. I was grow up in the jungle. Even if I was accepted the Lord, I have no language English to speak. I learned some. And Dr. Peter Master gave it to me, one lady from the Wales. Okay, Samuel, she will be your teacher, English teacher. Back to the home. Dr. Peter Master, when in the 93, asked me that, Samuel, he speaks very I love his English. He said that. Thus he come and Samuel. How are you? Okay. He said, Samuel, how are you? You are going back to Nepal. He said, yes, Pastor. I have a heart for Nepal. Passion for my people. I want to go back. He said that anywhere if you invited or wanted, you would like to go? No, Pastor, no. I would not go anywhere than the Nepal. He said, God bless you, Samuel. That's it. Went back to home. As a reform, I was the first reform in Nepal. They pronounced, I'm a reform Baptist. It was an easy one man to stand up with the thousands of Christian leaders and say, totally I was dishonored, isolated. But I take a decision. I told the Lord, what I decided, this is the true doctrine, true grace. I am here. I will do it, whatever. Even if I am demolished for a single person, even one, I will. Then I talked to my wife. We have been going one of the church, local church or independent church, no doctrine, whatever. So we were not very comfortable to have fellowship. And I talked to my wife, let's start a Reformed Baptist church. My wife said, what? Where are we going to Reformed Baptist church? Who are the congregation? Where are the believers? And they said, you are a believer, I am a pastor. You will be my congregation, I will be pastor. Anyway. Then we decided to start a church. My wife will be congregation, listener, I will be preaching. And I have one niece in my house, she's the one, and I called out the brother, Mitra, he's my brother, he's a pastor now in the Canaan Baptist Church, associate pastor, and he said that we poor people. But you know, when we rented a small room, and I started to preach. When I've been preaching three people, I will always sense that the 3,000 people there. I shouted like I'm preaching to the 3,000 people. I shouted always. My vision was the big. When I forget them three people. Always I look, I see a many, many thousand people. I'm preaching like. One day I prayed in the church history there is one. A gallery that is in the church history in London, England, that the gallery, the person is preaching, short guy, but the short man, but the big number of people. Always my picture comes, a big number of people preaching to the three people. I'm shouting a big mass. We were poor people when we started the Reformed Baptist Church. 24 years before. Now we have almost 900 churches. Put more than 40, 50, 60. I'm not there to count every go and every churches because of the... I scared that David wanted to count his blessing. Something happened in his country. But there are hundreds of churches, hundreds of people. Oh, uncountable, uncountable blessings. That is the thing, sir. I learned something. When this person has a great vision, and he saw the great glory of God, and he made a great decision, if we are the child of God, I feel that. Okay. So now, what else we have? Too many. We have a around 300 children taking care of, educating them, orphan, and the Bible school, We train more than 1,500 pastors. We have a women Bible school. We train the sewing and the for medical, and they can be evangelists in their village. And we run a radio program. And we run occasional televisions and other so-and-so. Also, I'm wearing so much big hat, many, many hats. But, you know, last year, you let him to come, or you allow him to come, Randy, Mr. Brother Randy and the Dr. Paul. They were so blessing to us. Thank you very much. I would say thank you very much once again. So we are connected. I feel that I am very comfortable. I, as a family, we are connected because the Paul came down, and they were so. It is connected heart to heart. I feel so comfortable to be here. Nope. So. Thank you very much. Whatever you have done for the nation, I bring a warm greetings from the Canaan Baptist Church from Nepal. Please observe it. I was just playing with, talking to the small boy. I love it, the children, and the Samuel. I was just talking to him. Hey, I am from Nepal. Do you know Mount Everest? The highest mountain of the world, 8,848 meters. Sometimes with the children, we talk now, it is like 10 times or 15 times or in 100 times taller, tall, this like this building. Sometimes we just, I talk, how high? They will ask me, how high Mount Everest? Okay, you look at this house, then you can think of the 200 houses in up high. That's it. Of 400 houses. That's 29,000 feet in anyway. So, we have a children ministry. We call the Emmanuel School and Spurgeon Children Ministry. Sounds very English, Spurgeon Children Ministry, because of, I learned so much things from the Spurgeons and also, so this, you continually pray for this Canaan Baptist Church. It is not only Nepal. We have a Bhutan. And the next, this in this February, about 28 are graduating. I'm giving an extension teaching to the, in India, Northeast India, 28 students will be, pastor will be graduating. They are well educated. They are 10 years, 20 years, 50 years pastors. They will be graduation in India. 28 pastors will finish up their Bachelor of Ministry, 5 years course. So they are the, like, and I have a residence. I provide them everything. God has given us a freely. Freely take it. We provide the food, we're free. We provide the books free. We provide the accommodation, all whatever things are free. Until God provide, we provide the free. And some of the brethren, you participated in this training center also. Thank you very much. And also, this November, the Paul, and so, and the maybe Brother Randy, and some of them are decided to come visit us again. That will be great encouragement for us. And we will be more connected. Maybe. And so, this is a little bit about my testimony. I'm serving the Lord. And I would like to bring you a little bit encouragement from the Word of God this morning. So, turn with me to Mark chapter 9. The Gospel of Mark chapter 9. I want to share something from my heart as some devotional message from this chapter. It is that you can read out from the 1 to 8. that verse 5, chapter 9, verse 5. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And in verse 7, and a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Suddenly, when they had a look around, they saw no one anymore but only Jesus with themselves. This morning, I would like to take it a little bit as a devotional message from this passage. As I told you, the great vision and the great glorification and the great decision I have taken out from this passage. Story. After 6 days, it said, the Lord Jesus has took them, three of them. Sometimes we have a great question that why three of them? Where are the nine? That Jesus has a 12 disciples, only why three of them? Why not for nine? It is a very, very... I may not be very organized here, but tolerate with me. Why not nine? Why only three of them on the mountain with Jesus? I was very serious about this, to look at this passage. I was praying to God, what I could share something with the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church this morning. So, Lord has blessed me, Lord has given me some revelation, some inspiration from this scripture, what I'm going to share with you this morning. All of you know the story. It's taken up them in the mountain. And three disciples were taken up on the mountain by Jesus. And these three disciples, they saw the three of them. Three disciples, they saw three, the men of God. Three figure, very, very important figure. They saw Moses, they saw Elijah, they saw Jesus. They were transfigured. They were whiter than, their clothes was whiter than any. Very white. They were transfigured. They saw, three of them saw a glory of God sign upon this tree. Very important, the man of God. Oh. I'm trying to just to get you. Why not other people, but these three people, they could see such a glory of God shining upon these people. It's very important. These people that we need to study, we need to know the background of these three people. This background of three people, the Peter, James and John, and Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Three by three. We can look at here, three people were, these are the three people, three by three. Why three by three? Why Peter was taken up there? I look at the same story. Why he was there? You know, Matthew chapter 16. One day, Jesus asked his disciple that, what does people say about me? What does people say about me? And everybody really loved to answer, you know. Everybody just, they say, you are a prophet. Or you are Elijah maybe. Or you are man of God. You are a great man. All the disciples, among the disciples, and many, all disciples were there. And Jesus asked them, what does people say about me? Jesus was asking his disciple. And Jesus means everybody excited to have an answer for that question. Because of they have heard a lot of things about Jesus. Somebody told them. Somebody talking around about Jesus. A lot of talking going around about Jesus. Prophet, great man of God, Elijah, so and so. That was okay for Jesus. But not stop there, Jesus. Jesus said that, what do you think then? What do you think then? Then many of them were, they shut their mouth. Just keep quiet. Huh? They were so excited what they have here to tell about Jesus. But Jesus asked them, what do you think about me? What do you know about me? What is your opinion about me? Then everybody, while their head was down. Nobody, most of them are just keep quiet. No answer. But the Peter, the disciple of Jesus, the Peter, he stood up and said, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of living God. Did you see? Thou art. He is the first man who confessed that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of living God. Did you see why Jesus take him in up to the mountain? Why Jesus wanted him to around him or within him? It is very important. It is a quality-based discipleship. It is a quality of the Peter was the, he was the man of confession who confessed Jesus is the man of zeal, he confessed, he is the man of the confess, he is the Son of God. I feel that sometimes we dare to say, we are so excited to say about Jesus what other people say. What we have heard from other. Of course, that is good. Somebody talking about Jesus, somebody teaching about Jesus, somebody giving us a message about Jesus we have heard. That is very good. But always question, remind there. Jesus will ask you, what is your opinion about me? What do you think about me? Then we should be answerable for that question. Individually. Individually, he will going to ask you, what do you think about me? That was the yesterday. Maybe I don't know. I was a little bit maybe like this. Sometimes we talk a lot of things things what others say. You know? This was my prayer. Honestly, I would like to say, oh Lord, the God of Spurgeon, oh Lord, God of Whitefield, oh Lord, God of Baxter, and you are God of mine. They have given their accountability to God. They have given you the accountability to, they are the accountability to you. I want to give account, my accountability to you. You know? Every person, as a Peter, need to be accountable to God. God will ask you, what do you think? What is your? So, Peter was very bold to say. Then Jesus said that, this is not from you, it is from my Father. I will build my church upon this rock. He lays his faith. He lays in his life for us because of our confession. Of course, there's a grace is there always. But what is our responsibilities? What is our duty? You know? It is one of the qualification. Well, I found that Jesus wanted him to be within of his ministry. Sometimes there will be so many the brethren or people around, not within. You know? The Jesus has a within of his leadership, three of them. Around many of them. You know? So always very important, within the leadership, three of them, the disciples. This was the. I don't want to take it very. You can have a study about the life of Peter, how he was so example for us, and how is that we are inspired by his ministry. And we can take it as a granted as an individual in our life, you know. So he was a man of, thou art the Christ. Jesus always wants people to be a personal relationship and communion with God. He will take it. And these are the people who can see the glory of God. He will give us. This morning I was very, very privileged to pray with the leader of this church. And I feel that he has given us an eye to his glory. One more day he added to see. Morning and evening he will give us a, you know. Brother and sister, so many people have no opportunity, no privilege to see these days, you know. Without Christ, without grace, without privilege, without blessing, without life. They have gone forever. But we are the people who have a privilege, grace and mercy to see His glory. Why not then we make a decision, great, if we have a great, the privilege and grace to see a great glory of God, then why not we make a great decision for Him? This is the day of salvation and grace. And James, what was the attitude of James? Why? He's a little guy. He has not much history in the Bible, you know. He has written his epistles and such. We don't see much evidence about the James. But we can see in the... let me check it. My Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Gospel of Luke chapter 9. Verse 54. Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 54. What does it say? What is written here in the Bible? It is one of the aggressive or not a good passage here. Not a good saying here. Lord, why not bring a fire from heaven and all consume these people as Elijah asked the fire from heaven and destroy the people, destroy the sinner. It sounds very good. This verse doesn't sound very good. He's appealing to Jesus, asking Jesus to bring a fire from heaven and destroy the sinners. Those who are opposed the gospel, those who are against of the gospel, those who are against of the Jesus, he is asking Jesus to bring fire heaven and destroy them. In the Western language, I do not know if it is good to use or not, make a barbecue. Roast them. These are the sinners. These are the unholy people. These are the enemies of the gospel. These are the accusing to the Christians. So why not, Lord, ask fire and roast them and make a barbecue? It is not a good language. Why then he is so beloved? Why he became an inner leadership, inner leadership? Why he became a so beloved, a wanted man of Jesus, you know? Is a such a man, aggressive man. He was the man of jealous for God, you know. That he was jealous for the God's righteousness. He was so, he wanted to protect the holiness of God. He wanted to protect the true doctrine of God. And he wanted to be defend the holy righteousness of God. That's why he was so jealous. Anyone, he doesn't want to be anyone to speak against God. He was a big defender of the righteousness of God. The holiness of God. He doesn't want to see unholy people to take the God's name. He wants to be. Not because of this account. Not because of this is so many times we interpret wrongly this because of the, he spoke out, this is the, everybody he wanted to see be destroyed. Not like this. Actually, he wanted to be no one should speak the against of the holy ness of God. God is the holy of holy, the righteous of righteous. He is the sovereign. No one can. That was his qualification to take him up in the mountain with Jesus. He was qualified. Why he was qualified? Because of he had a jealous for God. Today, God is looking for that people, you know, who have a jealous for God. Today God is seeking. Can you see the reformers? Why? Latimer Fox, why he was giving a testimony in front of the King Henry? You know? The why Martin Luther was stood up when he was to the Pope, to the letter, Roman, against the Roman, he raised up Luther was stood up alone because of these people were the carrying a heart jealous of sovereign God. We need a people. If something to happen in our life, if we want to see something to happen in our community, in our country, in the world, we need the people. You know, it is a reformation. I call the Bible biblical reformer was the James. The biblical reformer was the Peter, who testified Christ. You know, and another one we see. that Jesus means John. I just as a whole, I want to summarize that. That John was the character of the loving guy. He was beloved one of Jesus. He talks about the love of God. You know, all John, Gospel of John, chapter 3, and the epistle of the John, all he talks about the love. Love of God. Love each other. These three people were combined together. Three people are the confess. One. Jealous. Not enmity. Jealous means not enmity. Jealous. Anguish for God. Heart for God. And love for God. Do you know that the disciple of Jesus, John, he wrote all about love. God loved us all. Love each other. If you love, his letter to the epistle, apostle's epistle, all epistles, he talks about the love. And I feel that this is the today our churches needed to know and today needed to take up. I'm going to conclude as much as I can. So, and Peter is the another very, very, very good quality here. Why he said that thou art the Christ. And he gave a statement here, very, very important statement. When he looked at the glory sign of these three people, Elijah, Moses and Elijah, Jesus, and he was so hurry, he was so rushed to say something about them. He said, Lord, we are better to be here, stay here. Shall I make a one room for you, for Elijah, one room for Moses, and one room for you? Why not Peter said that one room for three of us? There is no quoted room for three disciples. That means Peter was not a self-centered man. He was not a self-centered. His life was a Christ-centered. Did you see qualification as the quality of the Peter? He was a Christ-centered man. Everything for Christ, not for me. Brother and sister, if something to happen, we want to see something to happen. Not self-centered, but Christ-centered. Definitely he will do it. He is the in charge of our life. What about us today? He said that, shall I build a one room for Elijah? Or shall I build a one room for Moses? And shall I build a one room for Jesus, for you? There was no statement, shall I build? It's good to stay here, but shall I do something for you? Not for us. That's the Jesus invite. Jesus is looking people, someone want to do for him, something for him. We are reformed. We believe in the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty of God. But what about our prayer? if you are always asking, if I am always asking to the Lord, Lord, you do it. Oh, Lord, you do it for me. Lord, do it for me. Lord, you do it for me. Then where is the word that the Lord, I will do it for you? Look at Peter. He said that I will do for you. Not Lord, you do for me. If we believe the sovereignty of God, we need to be submit everything, anything we have in the hand of God. He will do it. And we must do for Him anything we do. That's the important. How I started my ministry, still I remember, you know. My beloved wife, she had been working in the hospital. I'm nothing doing, every day preaching, nothing. And someday she thought up that she collected little her provident fund in the hospital. And she thought up that maybe my husband is suffering. And she bought a second-hand used motorcycle for me. I have nothing in my pocket. She got about $15 a month. But she collected 17, 16 years money in the hospital, working there, in the leprosy hospital. And one day she called me and said, Dad, you are going here and they are walking by foot. I would like to buy a motorcycle for you. I said, new motorcycle? She said, I do not have much money. I have a little money. I saved 16 years. I will give it to you for your ministry. Of course, we bought it. Small 100cc motorbike. And when I bought it motorcycle in my life, first time, we are just used to run with the yak horn, take a yak horn and run to the mountains. It is good to have a motorbike, not a yak, not a car, buffalo, running after buffalo. I enjoyed it. 3 months, 4 months, and we go around, we went around together, and we have a very fun time by motorbike and easy to access and go around, we lovely. But the one day, the Lord spoke to me. Doesn't mean that He's directly, but my heart was telling that, Samuel, you need to do something. What is that? I thought of that. I will sell it, this motorbike, and pay the rent for the church and support this evangelist. And she came back. Just I was thinking of that. She came back from hospital, and I say, money? Yes. I have something in my mind and heart. Shall I share with you? She say, yes. Shall I sell it, this motorbike? For what? Oh, I want to bring one evangelist to evangelize with me, and I want to pay the rent. She was a little bit not happy face, and because of she put money 16 years to collect a little money, and she put for motorbike. And next day she go to the duty and come back. Then I asked her, money, what do you have thought of? She was not happy, little bit. She was not happy. That doesn't mean that she denied, but I understand. I read her face. And the next day I asked again, what do you have thought of to buy? I say, I want to sell this motorbike to put in a ministry. And she said that whatever you like, you do it. She said that. I said, no. No, you bought it for me, this motorbike. I cannot decide. Unless you give me a decision, I cannot decide myself. And she said that I will think of. And I was praying that, Lord, you are the one who, please, Lord, speak to her in her heart. She can say yes. And after a few days, she come back from the duty. And said that she was so happy. She was so happy face. I said, I told her, what's happened with my wife? She ran to me and said, Dad, during the break time, I pray with God in hospital. I feel that you can sell this motorbike. And I sell it for $400. and all money we put in the God's kingdom. Next day onwards, means rather than riding a motorbike, we bought a 3 bicycles. And three, four bicycles. One I can ride it, one another evangelist can do it, and one for church we bought it. And I pay a small room for about $10 a month to start a church. We give it whatever we have it for him. Today, we have more than what we needed. I never had a financial crisis in my life. I was never hungry and thirsty for any food. God provided. Not what I want, God provided. But God provided what I needed. That's it. Sometimes we want more, want more, want more, want more, want more, want more. What we want more? Nothing to take away. Whatever we give God, we give God. Sometimes we put a small things for God. God will multiply the blessings. It's a big, it became a big ministry, big tree. Brother and sister, this is the thing, sir. From this passage, it is a great vision. God saw these three people. You can see the white 3x3 what they are selling. Elijah, or the Moses. What is the character? What is the qualification of Moses in the desert of the Midian? When was he taking care of his father-in-law's sheep? And he found the fire was burning on, and it did not consume on the bush. And he just ran to see, and God says, where you are standing, this is a holy place. Remove your shoes. And God said, I'm sending you. And what does Moses say? Lord, I'm here. Lord, I'm here. That's it. Available. Nothing he has. He has no weapon. Nothing else. No money maybe. He's just a shepherd boy. No house. Nothing else he has. In my understanding, he has a heart. He was just available. You can see that in the verse. In a minute I will finish up. Exodus 3, chapter 3, verse 4. He said that I am here, available. And we can see the character of the Elijah. He said that if my God, my God, the second king, chapter 1, verse 10, he asked the fire, God sent the fire, consume thee. You know? When we look at the James, we compare with the James and Elijah, they have the same zeal for God. And Jesus and John, they have the same character. You know? Jesus is the love from God. And John talks about the love. It's the character, same character, John and Jesus. And Moses and Peter, they are even though they are weak people, they are available for Christ. They are available to give anything for Christ. Moses gave up everything for Christ. Jesus, as I told you, Peter gave up everything. He doesn't care himself. He did not care himself. He cared for Jesus. The Moses did not care himself. He rejected. He denied the royal palace and to be a crown prince. And he rejected and he cared for God. These are the, you want to see great things to happen in our life. These are the important example here we want to be. So if
we go for that, God is going to do something. There will be great revival. There will be great reformation. Reformation doesn't come by the Mercedes car. Not a Rolls Royce car. Reformation, revival, it will not come by the Mercedes car. It doesn't come by the Rolls Royce car as a royal king. It doesn't start. The reformation starts by within. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. That's it. As this morning Paul was telling that evangelism, go, 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 go. Go for Jesus. Do it. Do it. Revival is there. Listen to him. Listen to him. He is the beloved son of God. This was the main strength, main inspire, main Peter and James and John and James. Men, they were strengthened by this voice. You know, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. This morning, brother and sister, you are so much blessed. You are so much loved by God. But I will plead to you, appeal to you, think of that. We have studied last. What other things? It's not a big issue, but what you think about Jesus? What other doing? This is not a big issue. What you are doing, this is an issue. And really, our life, your life, is a Christ center or self center? Sometimes, not in this church I'm telling these things, but in my church I used to tell that. You know, the best things remain at home and use things somebody bring to thee in the church. I say that, please, beloved ones, don't bring the things, the used things, small things to the church. Because our God is not a beggar. If you want to give the God, give the best thing God, otherwise don't bring it. Don't make the God is a beggar. Give thee. We are so self-centered. We want to have best thing in our life for first. Because we see the God is gracious, loving, He loved me, and everything's good, everything's belong to me. I want to have the best things. Not like this. Can you look at the Peter lives? He wants to give the best thing God first. Then something happened in his life. I am here. Always I used to say my congregation, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Look at me as I look at Christ. We have so many leaders in our country. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Then to whom to look at? We leaders, we believers, we disciples of Christ, we need to be courage to say, look at me, imitate me as I imitate Christ. It is a big challenge for sometimes for our leadership. You know? It's very challenging for us. But as the Paul says that, imitate me as I imitate Christ. We all are leaders. We have a different responsibilities. We have a different delegations. But we all for Christ. We are all leaders. We all the disciples of Jesus. So we all obligated our responsibilities to do best thing for Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, we are obligated to do it. This is the day. We do not know tomorrow what will happen. Yesterday has passed away. You cannot go back to the yesterday. Anyone can go yesterday. It is passed away. This is the today. The grace of the Lord is sufficient today. Today is the day of making decision. Tomorrow we do not know. That's why the Lord, Jesus taught his people, don't worry for tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. If tomorrow, always tomorrow is the one day ahead of us. So you cannot catch tomorrow. That's why we don't worry for tomorrow. That's what Jesus said. This is the Paul said, this is the day. This is the day. If you want to see a great vision, great glory, and if you want to make a great decision for God, this is the day for you. This is the day for us. God is going to do great revolution, great reformation within us. Within us. That's why I'm telling that. You know, God doesn't look at that. These three people who changed the world, these three people who made the upside down the world, you know, these three people. Is it not a God? Is it God? God look at the big quantity, you know, big number of people. Is it not mean to be that? The God doesn't look at a big number. He doesn't look at the quantity, but always God center. God is always the quality. He needs the quality. Three of them were quality. Just these quality people, sometimes we few people are enough than enough. More than enough. But these are the God wants to have such kinds of people in the church. One who have a jealous for God. And who have the do something, everything want to give for God. And the loving and caring for God. These three characters remind all of us. Then the church will grow. And the church will be spread out. And go on. And many people you can see the added into the kingdom of God. Dear brother and sister, I live here with you. I'm going back tomorrow. Out after tomorrow, we'll be back to home. I will be praying for you too. I will carry this church congregation in my heart. And I started to pray for you too. And please remember me in your prayer. So we will be connected in the spirit. And we can be encourage and exalt each other in the holy name of Jesus. May God bless you. Thank you.